the house of the Lord. And thank the Lord we're able to have my father-in-law here with us today and worshiping with us. And amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we're asking, Lord, for your divine guidance, Lord, through the scriptures this morning, dear God, to give us, Lord, strength, build us up, dear God, give us instruction along the way, Lord, and help and steady those, Lord, that need it. I pray, dear God, that you would visit us in a mighty way today, Lord, through your word. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 1. Begin at the first verse. And what I'd like to speak on is identifying characteristics. It says, God, who at sun-dried times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Amen. You may be seated. Anything that you look at is known by its characteristics. You know, there's different types of wood. There's oak, and there's walnut, and many different types of wood. But they're, even though they're all wood products, why they each have a different characteristic about them. They'll have a different color to them. They'll have a different, whether they're soft or hard, whereas like oak is hard and pine is soft. And you can tell when you try to drive a nail through one. And, you know, but you know them, you know the type of wood it is by its characteristics. And there are some woods that are better for building certain things than it is for other things. Like you wouldn't necessarily want to build furniture necessarily out of pine. There's much better woods to build it out of. Pine doesn't cost as much as, say, oak or walnut or so, you know, the hardwoods. And you wouldn't want to, if you were laying down a hardwood floor, why, you wouldn't want to lay down pine. Why, it would just mar up so easily with anything because it's such a soft wood. So when they lay down flooring, if they're laying down real wood, they lay down a hardwood. And it's known by its characteristics. You know, there are some men and I guess women that are car enthusiasts. And they can tell you the make and model of a car sometimes by looking at a taillight. And by looking at it, some of them that are really car enthusiasts, they can tell you about what year or model it is, you know, especially the older models, you know. And they can tell you, you know, I know myself, I can look at a Mustang and about tell you what year it was made, as I know all the Mustangs. But they're all Mustangs, but they're not all the same. They're different models. They're made in different years, different times. And they're all cars. They all run on gasoline. They all start up, you know, putting a key in them and starting them up or whatever. Or I guess nowadays they've got the push button stuff, but you still have to have some type of a key. But they're, you know, a Chrysler looks different than a Ford, and Ford looks different than a Chevy, but they're all cars. But you know whether it's a Ford or Chevy or Chrysler by the characteristic of the car. And that's how God is known, is by his characteristics. There are many churches that proclaim that they are following Christ. But when you look at the characteristics that they're displaying, then you can see whether it actually is really the characteristics of God or not. You can go to any denomination and none of them would say, well, no, we're not following Jesus. No, they all claim to be following Jesus. If you ask them if they were trying to be Christ-like, they'd say, yes, they're trying to be Christ-like. But do they have the characteristics of God present in their midst? By saying that, I'm not just talking about, you know, appearances, but is the word working in their midst? See, the word is eternal, and the word is alive. It's not dead letter, but the spirit of the word bringeth life. So the word is alive. And if the word is alive, then the word will be working in amongst the people. It'll be working in their lives. I'm not talking about looking and seeing perfection, because we're not perfect yet. God is working on us, bringing us to a perfection. So I'm not talking about us looking and not finding any faults or anything like that. I'm talking about, is the word working in us? If the word is working in you, then that is an identifying characteristic of God, because he is a living God. Now, Brother Branham, he speaks about this, and he says that it's like the two spirits in the last days. They'll be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. And he's talked about the two spirits, and he said it was like the right hand and the left hand. They both have four fingers and a thumb. They both have fingerprints and so on. But the only difference between them, is their characteristic, which is one's a right hand and one's a left hand. That's the only difference. Brother Branham said that would be how to identify the two spirits in the last days, to identify whether it's the spirit of God or not, is by the characteristics of it. Moses and Balaam, we look at when Israel was coming out of Egypt, you know, and Moab, the nation of Moab, which were descendants of Lot. Brother Branham said, they were not heathens. He said they were believers. It's hard to think on that, isn't it? But when Balaam went to offer sacrifice, he built seven altars, which was exactly according to the fundamentals of God. Seven is God's number. And when he went to sacrifice, why? He sacrificed a bullock. Then he sacrificed a ram on each, speaking of Christ, sacrificed a ram on each altar. So fundamentally, Balaam was as right as Moses was, both of them prophets. And Moab was a believer in that they believed in doing these things. They believed in having seven altars. They believed in sacrificing on the altars before they'd done anything, which was the same thing that Israel was doing. But one of them had the supernatural light, a pillar of fire that led them by day, which was a characteristic of God. And they had the characteristics of God in their midst. They had a serpent on a brass pole bringing healing if anybody was bit by a viper. And they had the living word of God working in their midst. See, Balaam went to come against the promised word of God. He was going to try to stop Israel from walking into the promised word for their day. And that showed that he didn't have the characteristics of God. The characteristic of God was to bring the people into the promised word for the day. And it was a promise to Abraham. The promise wasn't to Lot. Remember, the promise wasn't to Moab. The promise was to Israel. The promise was to Abraham and his seed. But Balaam was trying to stop them from walking into the promised word for their day. You can't identify whether it's God or not by the fundamentals of something. In other words, we look at all of the other churches, all the different denominations and so forth, and all of them come and gather on Sunday. You know, they can come together on Sunday. They can sing songs. They can worship. They have a minister get up and speak to them, you know, and they are going through all having these fundamental things. But is the word actively in? Look, we are living in the time where the word's been opened. It's not just having a Bible. Anybody can have a Bible. But has it been open to them? It's the same thing. Anybody can pack a message book around. That doesn't mean anything. Has the word been open to them? Is the characteristic of God in their life? Amen. And the characteristics of God have been identified to us in this last day through the word being opened in our midst. It's been identified to us. It's God's characteristic was identified in a man that came and the supernatural worked in his life. And Brother Branham said, when you see that happen and what that man says comes to pass, then you know that God is speaking through that man and he has the interpretation of the word. And we have that in this day. But just to have the message is different than living it. There's a lot of people that have the Bible, but they don't believe this particular thing's necessary or that particular thing's no longer required, and it's all right now for women to wear pants in the church, a wife for them to cut their hair. It's all right for the men to wear these too tight clothing. Looks like it's a size down, the fashion. But that's not the characteristic of Christ. That's not the characteristic of his word. The word says it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man. That's a characteristic of the word. Pardon me. Staying in line with the word for your day is a vindication of the characteristics of God in your life. But the characteristics of God are not always usual. They're not always, it's not a natural, God's not a natural thing, he's a supernatural being. And so sometimes the things that look like that it just can't be, yet is it a characteristic of the word? In other words, like, for instance, like Joseph and Mary. Mary, you know, was found with child, and the angel Gabriel had appeared to her and told her that she was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and she was going to conceive and have a child of the Holy Ghost. And her and Joseph were engaged at the time. And so, no doubt, Mary, you know, knowing she's betrothed to be the wife of Joseph, no doubt she comes to him, shares with him this visitation of Gabriel and what Gabriel had to say, and tells him, this is why that I'm with child, is because of what the angel said. I haven't been with another man, Joseph, I promise you, but this is what the angel... But see, Joseph, no doubt, loving Mary, and he loved Mary because the Bible said he was minded to put her away privately, not make a public example out of her. So Joseph loving her, no doubt, he wanted to believe that. But it was too unusual. It had never happened before in time. This was the first time this was ever going to take place. And it was the only time it was ever going to take place. So Joseph was still minded to put her away privately. But then, you know, if a man is sincere, a man or a woman is sincere, and they really want to know the truth, God's obligated to reveal to them the truth.
Amen.
Now, if a person comes face to face with the truth and walks away from it, then what's left is judgment. But if a person sincere wants to know the truth, then God's going to show them the truth. And Joseph was a sincere man. And he didn't act rationally or irrationally. He didn't just act, just fly off the handle on this thing. The Bible said while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord came to him and told him, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that thing which is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now, God doesn't have to reveal himself just necessarily through dreams. God reveals himself through dreams, he reveals himself through visions and that, but God can reveal himself just simply through the word. You know, if God is showing you something in a dream, you realize the prophet's not here any longer. So if God's showing you something in a dream, he's not going to show it to you in symbols, because it would take a prophet to interpret that. But if he's going to show you something in a dream, it would just be literally what it's going to be. It would just be that way in the dream. God can show you something just simply by his word. Does it fit in his word or not? For instance, and I'll take something real simple. Is it right for a woman to cut her hair or not? Well, you can look. You don't have to have a dream. You don't have to see a vision. You can simply look in the word and see what the word has to say about it. And the word says that if she cuts it, she might as well just shave it off. The word says that her hair is given to her for her glory. It's given to her for a covering. So we can look at the word and see then that's the characteristic of God. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? We don't have to receive a dream to know about marriage and divorce. We can look in the word. And God has sent us a prophet in this last day who came and spoke to us by the word, spoke to us about marriage and divorce, set it straight. We don't need to have a dream. We can see that. we read, the Bible says, in sun-dried times and divers manners. He spoke once to, he used to speak to the people by vision through the prophets, but now in this last day is spoke by his son. Amen. That's the characteristic of God today, is speaking by his son. And he speaks through what? He said he made his ministers a flame of fire. So God comes today and he can speak through the ministry that's yielded to him. Now, we can have a lot of preachers, but what characteristics do they have? Are they trying to promote themselves? Are they trying to build their own kingdom? Are they promoting Jesus Christ? What characteristics do they have in their life? Is it all about showing you how much they know? Or is it about just living the word? Just living the life? Brother Branham said, I'd rather you live me a sermon. Amen? I'd rather you live me a sermon. You know, people can come up to you, and no doubt every one of you have experienced this, and I even amongst so-called message believers, where they come and say, oh, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And a little bit, you look at me, and you know better. You know they don't. Nobody loves you if they go around behind your back speaking evil of you. I've went places and had somebody come up and put their arm around me, and I was hoping they didn't have a knife in their hand. While they were telling me, God bless you, I love you, I was hoping they weren't stabbing me in the back. But I knew better. Why? Because of their characteristics, the way that they have done before and acted and said and talked about you. You can tell whether somebody loves you or not. It's become such a common thing anymore. People say, well, I love you. And it ain't got no more to do with love than nothing. God sends a man with the word for the age. And that word identifies that man. And then the people who receive that word, the identifying characteristics of God would be in their lives. We know that in the Bible we can see in Revelation 10, we can see Jesus Christ. We can see the end time messenger. But there's also John who typed the bride. And John was saying, tell to eat the book. In other words, take the word and eat of the word. Let the word in you become one. And when the bride does that, then you can identify she's done that by the characteristics of the life she lives. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. You can say the same thing. Jesus said, if you believe on me, these works that I do, greater than this shall you do. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. In other words, if I don't have the characteristics of God, then don't believe me. If the character of God is not displayed within the individual, then don't believe him. Somebody said to me one time, said about somebody who had kind of left the church, you know, and went out into the world, back into the world, and they were talking to me about them, and they said, it was a preacher talking to me about it, and he said, well, if they got the Holy Ghost, it'll bring them back. And I said, brother, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. That's why they're out there. If they had the Holy Ghost, they couldn't go back out into the world.
Amen.
That's not a characteristic of God. See, a characteristic of God, they would not have went out in the first place. Now, I'm not saying that you can't backslide. But I'm not talking about when I say somebody, Brother Brown said somebody's born again could backslide, but it didn't mean they could go out into the world and live like the world again. He said Abraham, when he lied and said, she's my sister. And it was just a little what today they want to phrase a little white lie. Because she was, in fact, his sister. They had the same father. But she was his wife. He omitted the truth. He omitted a certain truth. And that was, in God's eyes, that was the same as telling a lie. People say, well, I just didn't tell all of it. Well, in God's eyes, that's the same as telling a lie if you mislead somebody. And they misled some. They misled that king into thinking that she was not Abraham's wife. And Brother Branham said that that was the prophet backslidden. But God didn't leave him that way. Amen. Sometimes we slip a little bit. Sometimes we, you know, but God don't leave us that way. He makes sure he brings correction to us. But not only that, not only bring correction to Abraham, but he told that king, said, you're going to die unless you get him to come up here and pray for you. Showing God was still with Abraham. Oh my. The vindicated characteristics of God for the day. Abraham and Sarah. See, before they come down there, now Sarah was an old grandma, really, but she didn't look like one anymore because she was going back and becoming a younger woman again to where she could bear a child. And Abraham was becoming a younger man again. There was a change going on within them. That showed that they had the characteristics of the word for that day. Because God had given them promise that Abraham was going to have a son and it was going to be by Sarah. And remember when he came and spoke to him about that promise, well, Sarah laughed kind of behind his back, said, me an old woman, him an old man. But see, the promised word was coming to pass. Little by little, they were changing. That was the word, the living word in them. That was the word being displayed in their lives. Just like you're being changed. You look back and you can see you're not the person you used to be. Something's happened to you. Something changed you. What is that? That's the characteristic of the living word in your life. That's the word working in you. It's bringing us to a time of perfection. The characteristic of the word living in your life will bring this flesh into subjection. This flesh is constantly slipping up. We have to deal constantly with this human spirit we have. You know, you do something, you see something, that thing gets ingrained in your memory, and then Satan brings it up at any time, you know, just to try to haunt you with it. And you wish you could forget it, but you can't. And the crazy things that you did before you came to the Lord, they're all stuck in there somewhere. And sometimes you could be just cooking, washing dishes, or washing a car, or doing something, and all of a sudden one of them things that you used to do pops in your head, right, out of your memory. And you've got to deal with that. But there's coming a day, because the word's working mightily in us, there's coming a day when that memory's going to be wiped. When those things of the past, those sins and things, they'll be gone.
already washed by the blood of the Lamb. You don't have to feel guilty about that stuff. You've been saved from that. But one of these days, you'll no longer even have a memory of it. Isn't that going to be wonderful? That's the Word working in you. It's working in us. It's working in us, bringing us to a time where eventually, friends, this body's going to change. Amen. It's going to change. The molecular structure of this thing is going to be set right again. Right now, this body's under the curse. It gets old. It loses hair. It grows gray. It has aches in the joints and pains and has heart problems and has diabetes and has all these other things. Why? Because it's under the curse. One day, we're going to get a body change. Amen. We've already got a heart change. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is, he's known by bringing his word to pass. If he brings his word to pass, then you know, Brother Ram said, if a man says something and then God brings that to pass, you know God's with that man. He said they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a characteristic. That's an attribute. When he created his son, he brought him down to be a savior. That was an attribute of God. That was a characteristic of God that was going to be displayed. He healed through his son. That was being a healer was an attribute of God. That was God displaying the characteristic of being a healer. Well, he's still in the healing business today. He's still in the saving business today. That's still his characteristics. Somebody rises up and said, well, after 63, you can't be saved. That's not the characteristic of Jesus Christ. He's still in the saving business. Hallelujah. I tell you, we've got friends and loved ones that need to be saved. We should, as the bride of Christ, Christians filled with the Holy Ghost, we should be crying out for them to the Father for their salvation. Well, friends, we are at the end time. How do you know who you are? Is the characteristics of Christ in you? God identifies himself in the promised word of the hour. The promised word of this hour is he's making a bride ready for the marriage supper. Do we see that happening in our lives? Look, when you get born again, that's not the end of change. We keep changing. It's an ongoing living thing. You're a living organism. The word is alive. It's an ongoing thing that's changing, that's happening in us. We talk about getting a body change. Well, there's a change going on within us right now. When you look back at yourself 10 years ago, and 10 years ago you were sitting here in the same church. But has the word changed you from what you were 10 years ago to what you are today? Has it changed you a year ago from what you were, from 2 years ago from what you were. That's the word working in you. It's not to say that you don't make mistakes. You do. Because we're living in this cursed flesh. But if the word's working in you, it won't let you stay in error. The word always corrects the error.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and 8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same way that he was back 2,000 years ago, well, he's still the same Jesus today. And that same Jesus in your life is going to display the same characteristics that he displayed when he was here. I'm not saying you're going to be a prophet. You're not going to be a savior. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about he did nothing except the Father showed him first. And the works that he did lined up. You know, the priests of that day, they were descendants of priests. They studied the word night and day. That was their thing. That if you were a priest, that's what you did. You couldn't be a priest and say, well, they ask you, you know anything about the word? Nope. Never read it. No, they studied it. That was what they did. But they failed to see the characteristic of the word when it became alive in front of them. There's people that got the Bible today. Some of them more studied in the Bible than you are. Some of them, if you weren't careful, they could tie you up in a knot with what they know about the Bible. But can they see the characteristic? Did they miss the characteristic of the word? I know people that study and study and study. Friends, they read the Bible every day. They pray every day. They study the word of God. And yet, and live a morally live a good moral Christian life. But they've missed the characteristic of the word for the hour. In other words, what would the word look like today? What does the word look like today? And you know, people are questioning, well, what does this mean and what does that mean in the book of Revelations? And I had a minister say to me, it was a denominational person, they said they really didn't understand the book of Revelations. And they were sincere. They didn't really understand. Why do we understand the book of Revelations? Because God sent a prophet and opened up that word. There's men that's made statements, said, well, they just think John ate something bad and had a bad dream. Then why is it in God's Holy Bible? Just because they can't understand it. You know, it's like with natural things. And I've told kids this in natural things, just because you can't understand something don't mean it's stupid. It just means you can't understand it. Just because you can't understand something doesn't mean that there isn't a truth there laying in it.
they can't understand the book of Revelations. I don't condemn them over that. If God don't open their eyes, they'll never be able to see it. It takes God to open their eyes. And I'll tell you, if you don't know the kind of person I am by now, I'll just tell you, I'm not the kind of person that goes around trying to cram things down people's throats. I believe more in living such a life that they'll see something there that they want. That's what I believe in. I've got around some that I've lived around, some of my relatives, and you know what? By doing that, by not jumping down their throats or trying to take a scripture and shove it in their face and all this, I've actually got their confidence where they begin to ask me questions. Then, see, the door's open. Now I can say something. And say it in the right spirit. But if I went in there saying, well, you're wrong, I'll tell you what, your church isn't nothing but a harlot, they're not going to want to hear me. They ain't going to ask me nothing. That's how I am. I'm that same way with you. I don't go around trying to cram things down your throat. I believe I preach what God lays on my heart. Then it's on your hands what you're going to do with it. Brother Branham says in the message, the Evening Messenger, he says, good character first. Talking about, let's see here. He's talking about Eliezer going to look for a bride for Isaac. And he said the first thing that Eliezer looked for was good character. Good character. That was the first thing he was looking for. He said that's what God's looking for in the bride for Christ, is good character. That's the first thing he's looking for. Said, then the next thing was to get her ready to meet Isaac. That's what's going on for the bride today. First, the messenger was to hunt that bride. And how was it that the messenger of this end time, how is that bride called out? They hear that voice and identify it as being the voice of God because of the characteristics of the word that are living in the person's life. The characteristics of Christ that he displayed. And they hear that voice, and when they hear that voice, it calls their name. They're identified now. Then the next thing is getting us ready to meet Christ. And that's what's going on right now. There's still a call going out. The voice is still going out. The last one evidently has not come in yet. But those that have come in, the word is getting us ready to meet our Isaac. Getting us ready to meet Christ. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable in this world, in this life. Friends, we're like Israel. See, Israel wasn't even a nation really when they left Egypt. They were not officially a nation. They were just sojourners. Passing through a land on their way to the land of their promise. Moab was a proclaimed nation. But Israel was just sojourners. That wasn't their land. They didn't belong there. That was not the end of their journey. This is not where we belong. This is not the end of our journey. This isn't all that there is for us. You think about a person, you know, that doesn't believe in God. And I know sometimes you really think, you find it kind of hard to believe, but a person who doesn't believe in God, what does the hereafter hold for them? Could you imagine living a life like that? When you die, that's the end of it. I guess that's why some of them live like they live. Is they live like, well, I only got this one life to live, you know, and so I might as well do all the things I can. Got this one opportunity going through it. They had a phrase or a nomenclature or something for that. Only one life or something like that. And you only got one life or something. And that's not true. We have life beyond this. Their loved ones die. That's the end of it for them. We know that our loved ones just went on into the heaven. They've stepped in already. They've stepped into a theophany. They're young again. They're not suffering from diseases and heart trouble and all these other things. They're no longer suffering. Isn't that a glorious thing to have that knowledge, to know that? Isn't that a glorious thing? Think about if you did not have that. What a hopeless life you'd be living. And there's people that's how they live. The pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people has identified God's characteristic with the people. I'm sorry, y'all. I usually leave this in the back room, and I didn't know I had it in my pocket, and the thing keeps going off. I'm sorry. You'll just excuse that. The pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people has identified God's characteristics with the people. God is still giving people the Holy Ghost. What do I got to do to get it, Brother Jerry? Believe. Believe. The Bible says, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you've done those things, that's all you've got to do. And you do those things because you believe. You believe what it says there. Then it's on God to give you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We don't got to look for some sign of speaking in tongues or something of that nature, you know. Or, you know, look, Brother Bram said at one time he was wondering what was the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And he said one time he thought, well, maybe it's the fruits of the Spirit. But then he got to thinking about those priests in the days of Jesus. They had more fruits of the Spirit than the disciples did. They kept the law. So it's not fruits of the Spirit. What is it? It's the identified living word in your life. When you get the Holy Ghost, that isn't what makes you perfect. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. It's an instructor. Brother Branham typed it with this teacher and instructor that was put over a son to teach him in all the ways of the Father. That's what it is. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. It'll lead and guide you into all truth. That doesn't mean that you're perfect or that you won't do wrong, but if you've got it, you'll be taught and you'll be corrected. Hallelujah. We need to look in the mirror of God's word. See if we see the characteristics of Christ. See if we see things that's not the character of Christ. And if we see things there that's not in the character of Jesus, then we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. We can go to prayer. Brother Branham said, a real believer that has the Holy Ghost, why, if they do something wrong, make a mistake or something, that they'll quickly say, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me that. I didn't mean to do that." We've got an advocate with the Father. It means we've got a counselor. Amen. A counselor, someone to represent us. And you know what? God can't even see you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see your mistakes. He doesn't see your failures. Those things, friends, they're covered by the blood. And the word that's alive in you is changing you from those things. Mistakes you made 10 years ago, you're still hopefully making the same mistakes today. They wouldn't be mistakes then. They'd be more like habits. But the word living in you is changing you, making you more Christ-like. The things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. You don't have no desire for those things. Because the word is that is the identification that the word is alive in you. That's a characteristic of Christ. Amen? And we need, like I said, we need to take a look in the mirror. And not look at our mistakes and our failures and all these things. But look to see, is the word changing me? Is the word actively alive in my life? Because if the word is actively alive, then that is the characteristic of God in you. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here, dear God, that they have a need in their life, I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to that need, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you will touch them. I pray, Lord God, that as we today have been brought to look in the mirror of your word, dear God, I pray, Lord, that let us take a good, sincere look, dear God. Father, there's nothing, dear God, that's worth missing the rapture over. There's not one thing this life can offer that should have any value to us, Lord, that would be valued over making it to eternal life. Lord God, I pray, search through your people, dear God. Help them, Lord, to search their lives, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that may, Lord, by this, Lord, this is an overcoming word. This is how we overcome, dear God. Lord, because you bring us, Lord, by your word, this is a house of judgment, and you bring us by your word, dear God, and you search out our lives, dear God, and if we see things, Lord, that's unlike you, then, Lord, we're corrected and we get rid of that, Lord. Lord, it's you making us ready to leave this world. Lord, there's so many things of this life, Lord, that wants to so easily hang on to us, Lord. But Lord, it's time, Lord, to get ready, let loose of everything that does so easily beset us in this race. Lord, we're down to the finishing line. We're down to the end. We can see the finish line in sight, dear God. Lord, I pray, Lord, bless your people today. Lord, strengthen them by your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.